drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man.
Detroit Kool-Aid drink, and not just Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers, not just a double side of cornbread, but a NFC North championship here on the pod that we will talk about. Finally, man, we got a victory to talk about, division titles, playoffs, heading to Dallas, heading to Jerry World. Get into all that here on the show. As you could tell, I'm hype. What a victory bar it ends. And you know who he is, at Chops in the D, here to talk all about it. Choppy Chop, how you feeling, man? We're NFC North champs. Let's go.
Woo-wee! NFC North championship, baby. Oh, it feels so good. Okri, we have been waiting and waiting and waiting for 30-some years. And we are now finally division champions. The first time winning the NFC North. We are the king in the North.
The king in the North.
Exactly. It was great. You throw out that 30 years and it still doesn't even seem right, feel right. I mean, again, I didn't come out of the womb loving this football team. I was playing basketball. I was a hockey guy. And then I got the bug, you know, and just been diehard year by year ever since. I've seen it all. I felt it all. I have no want to tell you, Chops, how old I am or how many disappointments I've had or why I thought it was going to happen again or boo-hoo, boola-boola, this, that. This is a different football team, Chops. I think this is the what do you often say again?
This is the brand. New Lions, baby.
Exactly. And that's how I felt towards the end of this football game. Again, we'll get into it. But, man, so much to talk about, so much excitement, so much Detroit Kool-Aid, core brand to serve up. I say, Chops, I mean, I'm sure you want to tell everybody about your Christmas, your family, your work life, but the weather. But we can't mess around. I mean, we got to talk about the Detroit Lions playing the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. NFC championship on the line. Tight ball game back and forth. I mean, again, we could go blow by blow, score by score. But all I know is early in the football game, it was Demo, Fosho, another skull, put it on the boat, 1 yard touchdown run by the big fella to start the game, and we went from there.
Yeah, Okri, we did not waste time, man. We went right into the first quarter and jumped right out, 7-0, man. I think 14 play, 75-yard drive, 7 minutes off the clock. Demo, 1 yard TD run, just pounded it right in. And look, it just kicked off the game, right? Like you said, this was one of those games where, man, I just sat back with like this quiet confidence that like no matter what, every punch we took, every time they, you know, they tried to claw their way back, like it just never felt in doubt to me. Even later on in the game, when we were only up by two, I'm just like, yeah, we're just gonna score right here and like ho hum, just take care of business. And just love to have one of these games close, but you know, probably closer in score than it really was in the way that we dominated the play.
I have exclusive audio, as I often do here on the show, of Frank Ribble's reaction to that first drive that took up 8 minutes and went down the field and scored a touchdown. You want to hear it, Chops?
Play it for me, baby.
Wow! 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 Wow!
Frank Wrabel was excited. Again, you can find him on the Twitter machine, the X machine, everywhere, talking about the Lions and having crazy fun takes. Shout out Frank Wrabel. Chops, so then Minnesota came right back. I think it was on the next drive. They went 9 plays, 75, and got a touchdown as well. 7-7 after quarter one. You know, we end up hitting a field goal with our new kicker, Michael Badgley. Some people call him the Money Badger, which still doesn't really make sense for a kicker and is not a very good nickname. It kind of sounds like a Chops nickname, that's something you'd come up with. But then Chops, then it was a 14-yard run. Three plays, 33 yards only. Only took us 50 seconds. And you want to know who the run was by, Chops? You really want to know?
I think you're going to tell me, Okri.
It was by a guy who's a multi-dimensional, positionless, elite weapon, Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, again, I think I'm missing a play here. Did we turn them over, or do you have that right in front of you? Because obviously we had a short field and made them pay here.
Yeah, the short field was set up by the interception, the first interception by your boy, Kirby Joseph.
Kerbo, Kirby B, as he told me on Twitter, the B for ball hawk, which I put out on the old X there for the people. But Kerbo got his hands on one again on that first drive where they scored. My boy, Brian Branch, had a pick in the end zone. I don't know how he drops that. Chaps, we're not athletes, but there are plays where I'm like, I could have caught that. I could have made that tackle. I could have done that. I probably couldn't, but I assume I could. And like, that was one where it was such a lollipop right to him throw. How does my boy Brian Branch drop that football? I won't know. But Kerbo, I mean, playing center field, making plays all day is tremendous. You know, the Vikings, of course, at the end of the half, somehow they go all the way down the field in a buck 20 and throw up some bula bula to Justin Jefferson, who had 141 yards in this football game. He makes a ridiculous catch, gets his feet in, touchdown. You know, 17-14 going in the half. Like, how are you feeling? Obviously, the tensions are high, a lot on the line in this football game. Pretty tight, but the Lions seem to have it 17-7, kind of let 7 points get away from there at the half.
Yeah, one quick correction there, Okri. You know, after Brian Branch made the kind of a bit of a blunder there in the end zone, he did come back. I believe it was on the next drive and did complete the interception to shut down the Minnesota drive the following time. So
that's why he's my boy, Brian Branch, right?
Yep, that's right. Best first name in all of NFL. So
hold on. Okay. All you people on X out there in the fandom, stop telling me how my boy Brian Branch should have dropped that football. Like, I know all you guys want to play Monday morning quarterback and act like you'd make every perfect call if you were Dan freaking Campbell, or like if you were out on the field and things are going 100 miles an hour. I know I can pick this, but I should probably bat it to the ground because no one's going to catch it, or it's not going to hit off the wrong part of my hand and maybe go to the other team. Like, that was just nitpicking by me that people were, oh, why'd he catch that? Oh, he should have done that. Like, I think we do way too much of that as a fan base, especially when you're talking about corners, receivers, people that got to make plays on the football. You can't always be 100% on what exactly to do or what would have been the better decision. You know, I was just glad to see him make a play on the ball because he's my boy Brian Branch, and it was a hell of a play.
Yeah, the game's moving fast, Okri, right? Like, I mean, it's easy for me to look from my couch, kicking back with my feet up, drinking my blue Kool-Aid and snacking on some cornbread to be like, oh, you should have just batted that right to the ground. But, dude, when there's players all over the field, you know, you're making a play on the ball. So, especially in the secondary. So, no issues with him. You know, again, people are like, oh, it cost us 30 yards in field position. It was fourth and two. Okay, yeah. But guess what? We still got the interception.
And this early in the game, I mean, we'll talk about a play later that, yes, you can nitpick. Yes, I was going crazy. I assume, because we've been busy with the holidays, that you were going crazy too. And that should have been a different play by a different person with a different nickname. But we'll get to that in a bit. So how were you feeling at halftime? I mean, were you tense? You knew we were going to get this one. How are you doing?
No, halftime was good, man. I mean, look, you know, again, Justin Jefferson is a freaking animal. That guy is a beast. Like, Nick Mullins was probably, I mean, his quarterback play was god awful. And Justin Jefferson made that guy, you know, I mean, he threw for 400 yards. And, you know, 100, I think it was 140 of them were to Justin Jefferson, like making ridiculous circus acrobatic catches, you know, catches that should have been interceptions. And, you know, so, yeah, I mean, look, JJ made Nick Mullins look like a freaking all pro with that 400 yard game. But again, a half feeling good. Okay. You know, we think, yeah, 17-14, no big deal. You know, they're going to get the ball to start the second half. Okay. Ho hum. Like, again, this is the brand new Lions. I was not worried at all.
Yeah, good stuff, man. It's, you know, there was a lot on the line. I was just disappointed to give up those points. And then the third quarter, which again, I hate to take a side tangent, but we got a little bit of time for it here in the first segment. Like, how bad were these announcers' chops? I swear they were on the Minnesota payroll. They're just outwardly rooting for the Vikings. These morons, like, kept saying, oh, the Detroit Lions get the ball after halftime. They could double dip. It's like, no, you dummies. We freaking took the ball first and went right down the field and scored. Were you watching when you were getting paid to announce the football game? Like, they made so many blunders, calling people by the wrong name. Like, you know, just consistently, like, cheering in the box for one team over the other. Like, it was just an absolute embarrassment from an announcing level. But sure enough, they kept saying how we were getting the football. Nope, the Vikings got the football, and they double-dipped. They went right down and scored. Five plays, 81 yards, 304 off the clock. Somehow KJ Osborne continues to kill the Lions. 21-17. I mean, you know SOL, people that like to tell you their age, people that think something from 20 years ago will impact today, are going to call up, are going to worry, are going to tell you, here we go. I know it's the first drive of the third quarter, but you know what this means. We're going to choke it away. But Chops, I'll let you tell them what happened after that.
You know, you gave a little side tangent there. I'm gonna double dip on the tangents because, look, if I don't like call the Kool-Aid line, please, but don't call the Kool-Aid line and tell us that you're 64 years old, that you've been loving the Lions since 1942, that you remember the year that they drafted Barry Sanders, and then it's all Scott Mitchell's fault that they haven't, like. You know, please don't do that. Please don't. Don't be that guy, people. When you call in here, you call on the radio, wherever you call in, don't be that guy that gives you a whole soliloquy about your age and how long you love the team and all that stuff. Because people just don't care, right? Like, they don't care. We're all fans, right? And guess what? This is the brand new Lions. So I don't want to hear about what the Lions were doing in 1947 when you and your pappy went down to whatever, you know, that was must have been before the Silverdome, but whatever it is, like, you know, look, happy you're a fan, but don't be that fan, okay? And then I will lead right into, again, 13 plays, 75 yards, 7 minutes and 18 seconds, response drive by the brand new Lions, including, I believe, two times we went for it on fourth down, fourth and one. Gibbs rips off an 18-yard run, another fourth down. And I think Jared Goff actually ran up the middle for a little 2-yard sneak. So, look, we just went back to work, went back to business, and the O-line dominated, opened up the holes, and just drove down the field. And again, nice little touchdown there to my boy, Amon-Ra, for a 1-yard touchdown pass.
I think he did it right, but I think it goes something like this. Amon-Ra! Did I do it, or should we get a third party in here to maybe break the tie?
I mean, yours was good. I like to change it up with the fluctuations, but I can't quite change it up like this guy can.
Amon-Ra!
It's the same soundbite every time, but it sounds like a live singing version from Stash in the ATO. I mean, it sounds like he called up just to do that, just for the show, for comedic value. It's one of the better drops of all time, for sure. Yeah, man, 14 getting in the end zone again. He was an absolute beast in this game. We're talking about 12 for 106 and a tug, and all over the field making big plays. One of the crazy plays that you hinted on was your boy JG16. Like, since when do we call a QB sneak on like 4th and 2.5, and he just plunges up the middle for 3? I mean, that was one of the more ballsy, crazy calls I've seen by you know, our offensive coordinator, who we greatly appreciate.
Ben Johnson, I love you. Ben Johnson, you are my hero.
That was incredible.
Yeah, he called a hell of a game again this week. You know, kept the defense on their toes. And, you know, again, just changed it up. Like, you know, 4th and 1, again, opening up holes on the O-line. Your boy Jahmyr Gibbs is able to rip off an 18-yard run. And then, like you said, no one's expecting Jared Goff to QB sneak it on 4th and 1 right up the middle. Like, he is proven time and time again, when he is on, he is 3 steps ahead of anybody else who has a clue of what's going on. So, great job right there, man. Again, botched the extra, extra point there. We botched that up a little bit. So we take the lead 23-21, which ended up costing me my hashtag chops lock of the week, but we won't get into that right now.
You say it was 4th and 1, but go back and watch your boy sneak it up the middle again. That was a long ass sneak. That was not 1 or a few inches. He had to go quite a ways to get that first down, which made it much more incredible. You know, again, I hate to go back to it, but you missed the extra point. Oh, we're only up 2. Here we go. They only the Lions would miss the extra point. Now we're going to lose by 1. I mean, Chops, I already did the gimmick, but you know who he is. Number 26, Jahmyr Gibbs, on a 3-yard run, just absolutely perfectly blocked, perfect cut, untouched. Unlike his first run where he absolutely galloped and broke people's ankles to get to the end zone and got to the edge. Here, he just made one cut off a great block, you know, Penne and company, and scores this touchdown. And that pushes it to 30-21. You know, let's just get to the end of this game here. They get a field goal. Again, announcers rooting for the Vikings. The Vikings fans and their whiteout rooting for the Vikings. Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers everywhere in Minnesota just repping our Lions. Let's go Lions chants at the end of this game. And sure enough, the Vikings get the football back, down 6. You know, a bunch of boo-hooing, and here we go, what's going to happen? The only thing that I got crazy about, and this is, like, say, second-guessing, this is the whole, you know, what-if scenario, but to me, the John Kaminsky play drove me nuts, because that's, like, end of the game, everybody knows if we get the ball, they have no timeouts. So the fact that this guy, I don't care how athletic he thinks he is, I don't care if he wanted to be on all the newspapers with the big scoop and score, the fact that he didn't just fall on the football, slowly fall on the football too, this wasn't one of those you had to like jump over 2 bodies and corral it as a big boy falling on it. He could have just lightly collapsed on the ball, end the game there, but no, he wants to get greedy, scoop it up, it comes off his bumble fingers. I was saying a few explicatives and yelling at my TV, because that's just one you can't do on so many levels, and, you know, everybody was ready for that being the big talked about play, and, you know, the refs this, the refs that. But sure enough, the Lions still got it done. I mean, Justin Jefferson makes a crazy play. They go down the football field. They get in range where they can actually go to the end zone with a good amount of time left. But then, Chops, what happened there, man? What happened at that point when everybody was crying in their Cheerios and worrying about this, worrying about that, instead of understanding that this is the brand new freaking Lions, and every time this happened this year, this team rises up? Tell them what happened, how we ended this football game.
Yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, again, Jefferson just balling out, you know, Nick Mullins throwing the ball up there and saying, hey, JJ, just get this for me, okay? Yeah, no, I know it's not near you, but just go get it, buddy. And, you know, and again, Jefferson did multiple times in those last two drives that they had. And, you know, with the, I think it was first and 10 on the Lions 30, about a minute left, maybe 58 seconds left. Again, Nick Mullins just recklessly throws the ball up to, in JJ's direction. And this time, our boy, Ife Melifonwu was ready to get in there and make the pick. You know, got a nice little, you know, cut the route, snagged it, ran up a few yards, then dropped down. Game over. Lions win. Cue the music. Cue Dan Miller. Cue the buses heading home. Cue the Kings of the North.
The King in the North.
There it is. So they, just good stuff, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, we don't have the Dan Miller cut right now. Maybe we'll mix it in. Maybe we won't. But he was going crazy. Again, I used to try to listen to the radio with the TV, but there's just too much going on. So, like, now I catch all his highlights, and I wish there was a way to, like, listen to the radio feed, like, later, but I haven't found a place you can find a good cut of it to then marry up with the TV after the fact. But, gosh, I should have done it this one with those bogus announcers. But you hit it perfect, man. You go back and watch this play. It's if he doesn't make this play, it's probably a touchdown to JJ. The way it's over the middle, the way he was striding towards the end zone, the way the ball was up in the air. So just an absolute tremendous play by number six. Nothing iffy about it, man. He came over, went up and got it, snatched it out of the air, clean catch. I'm yelling, go down, as loud as possible because he's kind of rumbling a little bit, but he ends up getting to the ground. And it was all but done right there, man. NFC North champions, again, crazy to say the first time since 1993. Everybody that's hated on the Lions was loving it. All the loyal, diehard Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers were loving it. Everybody in between was excited. The national media, everyone's on this hype train. Everybody, Chops, is drinking it in.
Drink it in, man.
Side of cornbread.
Cornbread!
Make it a double.
Cornbread!
We got a home playoff game coming at Ford Field, maybe multiple. This team, as I said weeks and weeks ago, can compete for the Super Bowl this year. And people are believing that more and more as the golf train keeps rolling, as Jahmyr Gibbs keeps balling, as ARSB keeps doing his thing, Kerbo making picks, Iffy. We haven't even seen Unleash Hutch in a while, but he continues to get after people. Our defense got swagger. Our offense is just fun to watch on so many levels. Like, Chops, we could just talk about this game all day. I know everybody watched it, but what a great game. What a great ending. What a great Christmas Eve present for all the Lions fans and even those that have hated on this team. And just tremendous to have it in the bag, sealed up, playoffs, division, home playoff game, and TBD if you ask me, but we'll see after that.
Yeah, good stuff, Oakry. And again, can you name another wide receiver in the NFL that can have a quote-unquote not talked about quiet game of 12 receptions, 106 yards, and a tug? And Amon-Ra St. Brown, ARSB as you've dubbed him, Amon-Ra as I've dubbed him. But again, 12 catches, 106 yards, people, and a tug. Like, and again, we didn't, you know, all those highlights that we mentioned. Yes, we mentioned the touchdown, but like the guy just, you know, he's so sure-handed. He's got such a confidence with Jared Goff. The hashtag Goff train trusts ARSB when we need to get him the ball, when we need a first down, when you need a big play. And, you know, ho-hum, 12 catches, yada-da, 100 yards, whoop-de-doo, another touchdown. Like, the guy just produces. And he is quickly becoming, you know, dude, I know people aren't going to like this. They aren't going to like it, Oakry. But I may be ready to dub this guy one of the greatest wide receivers in Lions history, like right now. But, and again, so, you know, love there. And another piece of love for J-Mo, hashtag J-Mo fast, 5 catches, 43 yards. Again, he's acclimating into the system between him and Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra. The weapons are cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
Let's have you try that Sam Laporta name one more time, Chops.
You mean the Sam Laporta supporters?
We'll let you try it one more time, Chops.
Oh, my goodness. The 1-800-CALL-SAM studio, Sam Laporta.
We'll let you try it one more time, Chops.
How many are there, man? I got the Sammy Biscuit. How's that? Is that the one you're looking for?
Yes, there we go. And before we hit our commercial break, our great sponsors, we're coming back to talk about all types of chops in the DKC Fantasy Championship. Bula Bula. We got to talk about seeding, maybe a former quarterback for another team coming back to Detroit, how we feel about that, and all types of other things with a Cowboys preview from my boy Chuck the Magazine and so many others. We'll get into all that. But Chops, before we go, I just want to remind everybody that we are Kings of the North.
The King in the North.
The King in the North.
Everybody, we'll be right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, everybody, this goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You could put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Kool-Aid drinkers are back from the break. Hopefully we entertained you. We obviously told you about the scores. We did gimmicks. We do what we do here on the Kool-Aid cast. As we always say, we can't appreciate everybody enough. We can't thank everybody enough for blowing up this show, hitting us up on Twitter, on X, talking Lions, getting hyped for some Michigan football, trying to cheer me up about fantasy football. It's been one of those years across the board. Gosh, just so many other funny things that happen out there as we have time, which is very limited for everybody else. So the fact that you guys make time to listen to this show, share it around, laugh it up, whoop up the Lions with us is a great time. You can find Chops on Twitter at Chops in the D. You can find me at Derek Oakery doing my thing when I can, how I can. So, Chops, before we get into like seedings and the Cowboy preview, like it pains me to do this and even say this, but you say that I forced you to get in the DKC Fantasy League with 19 other great 20 owners in total of our great listeners, just have a little fun in this Kool-Aid league. And again, I got way too many leagues. You've found a way to continue to tell me and others no and only are in one or two. you added this to your plate, but you slept through the draft. You were too busy to even select people manually. You made these Bula Bula queues and just picked people randomly, and then you pulled the wool over a couple owners' eyes once you realized you had a horrible team and made a couple trades. Yet here, after all this, and by beating me twice, you somehow find yourself in the championship match, which frustrates me to no end, but I'm sure you're going to tell us why you're so great and why you're so awesome and this is your plan all along, but it's got me a little riled up, I must say.
I mean, look, I'm surprised that you even had the cojones to bring it up this week, because Okri, as you stated, the hashtag choppy fantasy team took the defending champ to the ringer this week. Congratulations on a nice season, Luke. Bye-bye. You're gone. Chops is in the final. You know, the sun goddess on the other side, the great Natalie Sparbeck, was not able to pull off the come from behind win. And we've got Mr. Tyler, the kneecaps and helmets team, facing off against the hashtag choppy fantasy in the DKC Fantasy League finals. And again, I have to correct you. I did not sleep through the draft. I was prepared. When my pick was coming up and there were three picks ahead of me, I queued my top three guys so that as soon as the clock hit my name, I didn't sleep on it for 8 hours like some knuckleheads. The pick was in. It was ready to go. I was like Brad Holmes. I was not sitting around and I was efficient. So do not mock me for my efficiency, Okri. Every pick was hand-selected by me. And you can laugh all you want, but I will defend my position, and it clearly has paid off as I am in the finals, and you are at home watching the finals.
Are you going to acknowledge the fact of you getting Chris Olave for a bucket of Cheetos and a ballpoint pen? Are you going to even bring that up, or you just forgot about that happening halfway through when you were struggling? I got that drop here somewhere, but...
Well, I mean, look... I traded James Cook, who ended up being a stud running back he was in the middle of a hot streak. So the guy needed a running back. I needed a wide receiver. I don't remember who it was, but at the time, actually, I think Olave was struggling a little bit. So, you know, yeah, it worked out for me. And it's, of course, in a 20 team league, there's not a lot of players out there. Not a lot of depth. I mean, again, some people in the league didn't even draft two defenses or two kickers. So they were SOL when it came time for bye weeks. So me, I was prepared even with the way I set up my drafting strategy, and I was ready to go. So look, you can poo-poo the trade all you want. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That, you know, it's great. It's easy to look back and say, oh, Chris Olave balled out for you. Well, you know, yeah, it worked out for me this time. How many times have I made trades that didn't work out? So, but hey, you know, in all seriously, appreciate you talking me into doing the league this year. It was a lot of fun. It was fun to banter with the great Kool-Aid fans, to go back and forth. There's a little Slack chat going on there that people were on, and it was nice to get some banter back and forth. So good luck to Mr. Tyler in the finals. You're going to need it, because the hashtag choppy fantasy team is coming for you. He's the regular season champ, and I'm ready to knock off another champion this week.
Chops, you finished well there. It was fun. We do it for the people.
And the people consist of the millions.
I have to admit that I am contemplating retiring in multiple leagues, or like figuring out something, because I can't win the, you know, 48 leagues I'm in, and anytime I lose, I just drives me absolutely insane. I mean, again, you finished sixth, I was third. You have beat me, who was the champ, then Luke, who's the champ, and Kneecaps and Helmets, who's the number one seed this year. So in all seriousness too, like, you've pared down your leagues, which is smart. You continue to bring up 10 years ago when you won a couple of my leagues and then bowed out. Congratulations to you on that. And now here you are showing up big again in this league, as well as the one other league that you do that I'm involved with. So you've proven some fantasy value, and as hard of a time as I give you, you do compete. with the limited time you have. I don't know how you do it, and you're putting out good products. So appreciate everybody again. We'll see who wins the title, as well as hopefully, find either this way or maybe a best ball league or who knows what to do next year. But engaging with the folks, the listeners, is always fun. So, Chops, with that being said, I'm going to pass it over to you, catch my breath, hang back a little bit, and stop talking about you bragging or you doing this or you winning that. Let's talk about our Lions again and seeding, playoffs, scenarios, possibilities before we get to this Dallas preview.
Yeah, Okri, it's a great topic to be having, right? I saw a couple people put, isn't it so nice to not be in that little bubble that says in the hunt or wild card potential? We don't even have to think about that this year. It is locked in. We got a nice big Z right next to our name in the standings, division champions. We will be hosting at least one playoff game. A lot of different scenarios out there in the NFC. But right now, Okri, if I would have told you after 15 weeks or 16 weeks that we were 11-4 with the Eagles and the Niners, you would have said I was crazy. Maybe you, not you, because, we love the Kool-Aid. But, man, people would have thought we were nuts if I told you we were going toe-to-toe with the Eagles and the Niners, two powerhouses of the last few years, at 11-4 with potential to get a number one seed if we take care of business. So good stuff. Lots to be happy about, folks. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Thank you, Brad Holmes. Thank you, Sheila the Hamp. Thank you, Dan Campbell. Just so great, great feelings being in this position of winning the division and not have. I mean, look, we still have 2 weeks to go, and we don't. We can rest guys if we want to. We can go for the number one seed if we want to. We got a lot of options out there, and I think that it's been made clear that the Lions are going to go for it. We're going to keep pushing. We got a big game in Dallas, a tough road game. Dallas is like a different team completely in Dallas than they are on the road. There's so many scenarios out there, Okri. So really what I want to kick back to you, man. First I got a question for you. So are the 49ers pretenders now that they got beat down by the Ravens this week, or does that just apply when it happens to the Lions?
Oh man, where do I start? First of all, you missed a couple gimmicks, couple nicknames that you should have hit on. So that's on you. Second of all, you forgot to remind the people again when you went through that whole diatribe that we are simply this.
The King in the North!
You forgot to reiterate that point. Now you ask me about some, who cares, the San Francisco 49ers, this, that, and the other. I could care less about any of these teams. We got beat down by Baltimore, they got beat down by Baltimore. Somehow Lamar Jackson's the quote-unquote MVP of the league, yet every time I watch him, he drives me nuts with the way he plays, the good plays, the mistakes. He cost me in a couple fantasy leagues. We won't get into that now. I feel like every time somebody loses bad, people want to question them. I still think San Francisco, they have, the best running back in the league, one of the best receivers in the league, best defensive ends in the league, best linebacker in the league, crazy defensive line, MVP type, seventh round Mr. Irrelevant quarterback. I think San Francisco is still incredibly good. They have an incredibly good scheme, and Baltimore just knows how to out-physical and, out-scheme people. But back to our Lions, you went down these different things. Last time I checked, I heard they have about a 7% chance to get the number one seed. So that's not great, but that changes to 30 or 40% if San Francisco takes a loss and we get a Dubski in Dallas. So it's still a possibility. All these people calling up, acting like it's can't happen. It can. And if the Lions win out, it doesn't even matter what anybody else does. We get the number two seed. So those are the scenarios I'm rooting for. And if we stumble a game or two and are locked in at three, that's fine too.
Yeah, don't forget that the Niners have to play the Rams, who are going to be fighting for their playoff lives in that last week. So, while the Lions can kind of be sitting back if they wanted to, the Niners are going to be they're getting to get a real tough team in that last week. So a team that's, in the, basically they're in their playoffs there at that point with the Rams. So You know, good stuff there. Like I said, let's take care of business in Dallas. That's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm kind of looking at too. Like, to me, I'm in the same boat as you, Oakley. You know what? The only thing that matters to me, the only thing that I know for sure is that you and me will be sitting in Ford Field, hosting a playoff game, playing somebody. And I don't care who it is, because in Ford Field, when we are playing our best football, we can beat any team in the NFC. So it doesn't matter who it is. Yeah, it'd be nice if it was this team or that team or whatever. Avoid certain teams at certain times, fine, whatever. But, dude, I do want to ask you this. This has been a huge topic now of conversation, lots of Twitter talk, lots of radio talk. Right now, I believe we are currently slated to play the team that people used to call, I believe for a quick second there, were they calling them the Detroit Rams? They were, because there were t-shirts out there, but the LA Rams are currently the 6 seed and we are the 3 seed, which would mean a homecoming for Matthew Stafford, a resurgence of the greatest show on turf, potentially coming to Detroit to play the Lions in the first round, in the wild card round. How do you feel about that potential? And is there a team that, you know, I don't want to say scares you, or that you don't want to play, or that you do want to play in that first round?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, this whole Matt Stafford coming to Detroit round one, after the trade, after he wins the Super Bowl, the way that team's humming with my boy Puka Nacua from BYU. If you want to go back in the archives, you can hear me do multiple shows about this player way before he was drafted by anybody. But I don't want it, Chops. I know people in the radio media are, oh, I don't want it because I got to talk about this and that. Like, I don't want it because the way they're playing and yeah, the everything that comes along with it. Like, I just don't think that's a great. I'd rather play Seattle. I'd rather play Tampa. I'd rather play New Orleans. I'd rather play, you know, any of these teams at the bottom, basically, except the LA Rams coming in with those storylines. And more so the player, though. Matt Stafford's playing incredible football at quarterback. He's got 2-3 weapons on the outside. They can run the football with Kyren Williams. Chops, do I need to go back and pat myself on the back again when I live picked Kyren Williams to the Lions with a few of my live picks, 2 years ago when he got picked? I mean, that's documented as well with all the different things I do live on the clock for the NFL draft. Like, they have a lot of ball players. They're playing really good, not to mention Aaron Donald and company on defense. So I don't want that at all for so many reasons. So I'm totally rooting against that. And what I feel is best is let the Rams do whatever they do. Hopefully they beat San Fran for us. But I'm more in the mode of Lions win your last two games and get the 2 seed and probably don't even have to worry about that scenario. And then also lock up 2 potential home games at Ford Field. Those are my rooting interests right now. Those are my rooting against interest. Is having the king of Matt Stafford come back. But Chops, if that does happen, I'm telling you now, we need some type of Stafford pinata. The wiffle ball bat needs to be out and just let loyal diehard fans that aren't Stafford slaps to come around and just give him one good shot with the old wiffle ball bat right to the gut. I mean, again, I didn't root against the guy, but I don't want to see any number 9 jerseys that day. He'd be the ultra enemy in my book.
Oh, I just feel like it would be so poetic to have the Rams come into Ford Field and have us knock them out. And, you know, Stafford leads us to our first playoff victory in God knows how long, but as the opposing quarterback. There's something about it to me that's like, that would just be poetic and kind of funny. But, you know, they are playing good football right now. I think they're on like a 3 or 4 game winning streak where they're just blowing teams out and putting up a ton of points. So, you're right. They got a lot of offensive weapons with Cooper Kupp and Puka and Robinson.
Your boy DeMarcus Robinson has been good too. who used to be DeMarcus
Robinson's been hot for 3-4 weeks now. So, you know, that'd be interesting. But again, no one scares me, Oak. I'm not afraid of the Rams. I'm not afraid of the Sea Chickens. How funny would it be if we got to the point where on our last game, if Minnesota beats us, they lock in a spot and then to play us in back-to-back weeks at Ford Field? That'd be pretty funny too, if, you know, to play them twice in back-to-back. But, you know, who knows, man? There's so many different scenarios out there. I mean, right now, Tampa, that division, like, I think every team is within one game of winning that division. Atlanta, New Orleans, and Tampa, like, it's craziness. So, a lot can happen, but to me, it doesn't matter. Come into our city, we'll smack you around. If the O-line is clicking, if Jared Goff is dropping dimes like Inouye will, and the defense is bending but not breaking, but doing a little bit more, intercepting and sacking, then we should be fine.
There's the Kool-Aid-laced positivity by Chops, if you appreciate.
Drink it in, man.
And I think more people need to think that way, man, about, like, if it does happen, I don't want to hear a bunch of whining and crying about how the old number nine is going to come in here and do us up nasty. Like, it's not a great matchup right now, but the greatest thing would be to intercept them 2-3 times, beat up their defense, score a bunch of points, hold them down, and win the football game. But so I like what you said about what if we win rather than what if he does this, what if he does that. I just would prefer the other matchups for the lack of storylines. I would love us to go in with a team with a lackluster quarterback, maybe a beat-up team with a couple bad injuries, and just have the party of our life at Ford Field, because you know we're going to do the tailgate up, right? You know we're going to be hyped and be crazy, and all you want to do is walk out of there with a dubski. And then, like I said before, it's TBD if you ask me, but we'll see if we get that second home playoff game and who else comes to our house. But let's get the first one, and let's not have it be against Matty Stafford and company, is my take right now. Chops, we've been having so much fun on this show. We do got to get that quick Cowboys preview in before we get up out of here. And again, my boy Chuck Dog, he came on this show multiple weeks before he quit, and we quit doing the Fantasy Football Flavor Show. We dubbed him Chuck the Magazine because this guy actually still goes out to Barnes & Noble every year and buys a fantasy magazine, where I kind of told him, I clued him in, Chops, that there's actually info on the interwebs on Google. It's actually free too, that he could do rather than buying a paper magazine like he does. But he's old school, let's put it that way. But Chuck is an old school Dallas Cowboy fan. I had to sit by him in the game years ago where Tony Romo and his pizza factory threw a seam ball to Jason Witten to beat us at the buzzer. And it was a horrible experience. Chuck every year has that Dallas Cowboy arrogance, just what they're going to do, what they're not going to do. Every time Dak Prescott has an incompletion, Chuck wants to throw him in the garbage. Yet I continue to tell him he's a good human being and a good quarterback. So he's going to be hype. His team needs it. We need it for seeding purposes. Both these teams are playoff teams. Both teams are good offenses. You know, we got some issues on both sides when it comes to defense. Sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't. Last time I looked, wasn't Dallas like an incredible defense like early in the season? And then the last few weeks, they've been absolute Swiss cheese. So I don't know what to tell you, but I know it's going to be indoors. I know there's going to be 100,000 people there. I know Chuck Dog's going to be rooting on his Dallas Cowboys. And then you got us Lions coming in with that Detroit grit ready to smack them in the face. So how you feeling about this ball game?
Oh, well, before I tell you how I'm feeling, I'll give it to you how the people in Vegas are thinking right now. We're a 6-point underdog, which I think seems pretty disrespectful considering that we have a better record than them. Yes, it's at Jerry World. I get it. But a 6-point underdog seems pretty, pretty rough.
They ain't tough enough yet.
Yeah, I agree, Beetlejuice. They can't handle that. And again, over under it set at 52.5, which that's actually pretty. That's a pretty high number considering what the Lions have been getting here the last couple of weeks. So, the stats say that Dallas has a 70% chance of winning this game at home. Again, that even seems a little disrespectful to where we are at with what we got going on. I will give you, I'll tell you this. My hashtag chops lock of the week is going to be that guy that has that big, huge nickname that you love. I'll just call him Elite Weapon, Jahmyr Gibbs. Yeah, he's going to have two touchdowns this week against the Dallas Cowboys. So you can mark that as my chops lock of the week. Hashtag what Choppy said for the second consecutive week. Woo! Ja is going to get in the end zone twice. So that's my lock. I'm feeling pretty good about this game, Oakry. I think it's going to be close. Yeah, give me the gimmicks. Give me the woo-wee and the woo and all that stuff and the choppy likies. And the hashtag golf train. Brother. And but the one that we're really looking for is that CJ, that's my GJ, might be back for this game. The which DJ, makes that's my DJ. There it is. Hit the music, DJ. Baby. Love it. Yeah. Love it. We just gotta find a way to like scrub out that D and make it a G in there, and it'll be good to go. So
we'll get it fixed. But now we'll get CD that fixed. Deuce, so who knows?
Yeah, I got, you know, you've got a lot of connections, man. You think you can get in touch with that producer and get that switched out to a DJ or a GJ instead of a DJ? But
we can definitely do it, or it might just be me just monotonally saying the name and us editing it. But it can happen, as well as maybe it's Go CD. That's my Deucey. I mean, maybe we got to do something like that now. I don't know. Workshop it.
I don't know, the Deucey thing always makes me cringe a little bit, but hey, maybe we can get Stash in the ATL to do like a nice little monologue there for him.
Now we're thinking. We'll make
so
it
give me so Oakry, I'm gonna kick it over to you, man. Give me a score prediction. How you feeling? What's this gonna happen here on this Saturday night, December 30th, right before New Year's?
So choppy chop, I mean, I got this, like I said before, Dallas got a real nice passing game. CeeDee Lamb, absolute ball player. You know, again, I'm not going to go on a fantasy football rant, but Tony Pollard, you've cost me all year. You've been garbage. I don't know what you're doing most of the time. But, you know, it's kind of a nice matchup for him. Dak Prescott's known to turn the football over, so I expect him to give it to us, you know, once, twice, whatever it may be. Maybe in crucial situations, cost them the football game. Chops, the Lions offense is balling. And yeah, that starts with your quarterback and his wobbly spirals. He's getting the ball accurately to people, which he does really well. I'm still not seeing many deep balls. You did hit on my boy Jahmyr Gibbs with two tugs. I mean, I'm hoping one's from 50 plus because I haven't seen that deep end zone just celebration jaunt to the end zone that I need from that guy. So I'd love a big time touchdown from Gibby and getting Gibby with it. And my prediction for this game, man, is just offense. I mean, I already talked about, like, we're still trying to get the one or the two seed. I'm gonna go ahead and give my score prediction here of an absolute banger. 41 for the Lions, 38 for the Cowboys. Points upon points, offensive fun, indoors, Saturday night, like you said, just incredible back and forth joust. The Lions get a score and the Cowboys maybe come up short. Or how about the Lions got to have a last drive by our offense and we kick a field goal to win this thing? I mean, give me a 3-point Dubski for the Lions in Dallas. Oh, yeah, that's for you, Chuck Dog.
I like it. I like it a lot. You've given the Lions another 40 burger. That's that takes cojones, man, especially in a week against Dallas. So
I was right last time.
I like it. I like it. It did happen. You called it. So I also agree with you. This is going to be down to the wire. I actually have it a little bit different. I think we're going to be losing going into the final minutes of the game, and I think it's going to be. But are you going to let me finish? Are you going to let me finish? I think we're going to be losing coming into the game, the last drive of the game, and then the offense will be forced to go down the field and not settle for a field goal. No, folks, we will be forced to go down the field, and Jared Goff and the hashtag Goff train will lead the Lions down the field for a game-winning touchdown. 35-33, Detroit wins The Kings in the North continue to roll, and we are going for the number one seed.
The King in the North!
You don't get to join the off train. You're off, bro. You're off.
I don't hate him. I don't.
Chops, we need it to happen. I mean, don't we, Dan Miller?
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
Everybody, that's two big-time scores from us. We're feeling it. Detroit Kool-Aid's flowing. Drink it in, everybody.
Drink it in, man.
You know what goes well with Detroit Kool-Aid, right?
Cornbread!
Everybody, that's what we got. We're the Kings of the North, in case you haven't heard.
The King in the North!
And we'll catch you next time, right here, on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
The King in the North!
Hashtag Chubby Likey.
Pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over. It is over. What a comeback by the Lions.
Drink it in, man.